Mazzara and Parra project to Alamora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lip scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Outlaws, Rick Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Very excited for today's show on Thursday, July 28th. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Adam, Al, Chris here with you. Tomorrow we're going to have just a me and Chris show. That's Chris. I feel bad if I'm forgetting, but have you and I done a just Adam and Chris show this year?
Frankly, to be honest, I'm not even 100% sure who you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's get acquainted, because tomorrow we have to carry the load.
I think we can do it.
Who's going to host?
I think I'll host.
That works for me. That'll make things a lot easier. Now, we'll do a mailbag tomorrow. If you have any questions, email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We also have our Fantasy Football Today podcast going strong 5 days a week, so check that out in iTunes and a lot more podcasts. SEC on CBS if you're an SEC football fan, college basketball, basketball. So cbssports.com/podcast to find out about all of our podcasts. Now, I want to start the show with a question, and also I'm going to tell you what we're talking about today. Lance McCullers and his awesome start, Garrett Cole complete game. And then a bunch of pitchers that you might want to pick up, like Sean Manaea, Dylan Bundy. Do we care about Dan Straley? We'll talk about James Paxton, etc., and a lot of hitters, too. But here's the question. Would you guys, just hypothetically, just humor me, would you consider sitting an outfielder who is, since May 1st, it's a pretty long sample, you know, all but 1 month of the season, the number 27 outfielder in points leagues and number 41 in Roto? Yeah, would you know, maybe you have a good team. Would you consider sitting a guy who's 27th in points and 41st in Roto?
No, I would not sit Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm sitting Bryce Harper yet.
Lucky guess?
Very good guess, and you knew where I was going with that. But another 0 for 4 day, drops his batting average to .237. We got an email in our podcast for the People League that said Bryce Harper's hitting .237, and I guess I just really hadn't realized it had gotten that bad, but he is ice cold. And, yeah, after that hot month, 27 points, 41st in Roto, Chris.
His last three-hit game was June 8th, and he is hitting .213 with a .703 OPS since then, 41 games. It's real bad.
Yeah, it's not good, and yet, you know, when you put those stats out there, you know, he's still somebody who's clearly within the range of players that you would unquestionably start in a 12-team mixed league. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is the floor for Harper.
Yeah, I do wonder, you know, whether he is going to turn it around. It's so hard to believe that he's this bad given how good he was last season. But there's just some kind of adjustment that he is not making yet.
Well, what if he played right field for the Marlins?
Sure, but I mean, Stanton's slump was deeper. Harper's slump has been longer. I mean, that's a good point. I was never particularly concerned about Stanton. I guess he had a longer track record is the only thing I would say. It's hard to make sense of it, though. You know, there are some things that Bryce Harper is not doing. Particularly, I think he's still being too aggressive. I think he's, you know, what he was doing in May when pitchers stopped throwing pitches in the strike zone was just walking a ton, not swinging at anything. I think that's probably still the answer for him, but I don't know. It's hard to say.
Look, I'll present it from a different angle because, you know, it sounded like I was being negative on Bryce Harper. You can't be positive on what he's done, but you now are going to find owners who are no longer going to just say, it's just a slump. He'll be fine. He's still going to be one of the best players. And you guys might be saying that, and maybe half his owners are going to be saying that, but you're definitely going to find owners who are frustrated and fed up. And if you want to trade for Bryce Harper, now is the time. How confident are you that he is a great buy low candidate that's going to be a top 10 at worst hitter? Not outfielder, hitter, rest of season, Bryce Harper.
I mean, mostly confident, but it would have to be a genuine buy low.
Yeah.
Because I do have the same concerns that Chris does. I have no doubt that that Bryce Harper is somebody that I should start, but do I need to pay, you know, just a slight downgrade from somebody that, you know, I currently have ranked as the number two outfielder?
Well,
yeah, I'm not sure I want to mess with that, especially if I'm, you know, barely in the hunt for a playoff spot. Sure. I think I'm taking a risk there, but do I want to mess with a team that's been successful in that way? Probably not.
Okay, well, what if you could trade Gregory Polanco for Bryce Harper?
Oh, I would do that. Yeah,
what if you could trade in a scenario. Yoenis Cespedes for Bryce Harper.
Yeah, that's getting closer to the zone where I might hesitate if I'm in first place or close to it. I wouldn't rule it out, but I can't automatically say yeah, I would definitely do that.
And what if you could trade George Springer for Bryce Harper?
Yeah, same situation. I actually like Springer a little better than Cespedes.
Yeah.
Chris, where are you on this?
I'm probably in the same spot. It'd be nice if I could buy low on Bryce Harper. I don't really know if it makes sense to do it for another outfielder. But yeah, Springer and Cespedes are both kind of iffy for me. Like, I would expect him to be better than them, but I'm not sure I feel super confident in it at this point.
I actually do feel kind of confident in it, and I'm always the one that's sort of I'm not dumping on Bryce Harper. I'm usually just dumping on you guys for you know. But finally, you've come around, and you're starting to call out Bryce Harper for the, you know, lackluster season he is having. But I kind of feel like he's just going to get super hot and go crazy and carry a fantasy team. I kind of want him on my team. I guess I'm more optimistic.
I do think there's some risk involved.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. Now I'm going to call out Al for his rankings, and I was going to call out Heath. You weren't going to be alone, Al, but Heath's not here. So you got to move Yu Darvish up, my man. He's 32nd for you.
Yeah, I think Heath definitely does need to move him up.
Heath has him 25th. Al has him 32nd. So Yu Darvish, you know, a ton of strikeouts this year. He's got 45 strikeouts in 32 innings with 3.09 ERA and another pretty good start last night.
Yep, he's all right. I'm adding him to my ever-running list of rankings updates. So thank you for the call-out.
You guys, it's hard to keep up with it, isn't it?
It is. It is. There's always somebody that falls through the cracks. So Darvish is, I would say, clearly one of them.
Let's talk about where you're going to be moving Yu Darvish up, and you both can weigh in on Yu Darvish. How about the guy we talked about 2 days in a row, now 3 days in a row, Justin Verlander or Yu Darvish?
Verlander for me.
Is it just because of the injury, or do you think Verlander's just better?
It's because of the injury.
Okay.
Yeah. Fully healthy Yu Darvish, unquestionably, I'm putting him ahead of Verlander.
Yeah, I would expect similar ERA whip from the two of them, maybe a little higher on Darvish's end, but the strikeouts would definitely give him the edge. But there is some concern there. You know what? We have so little season left, though,
right,
that I would go with Darvish.
Okay, and that means that Darvish is going to be, because Verlander's 20th for Al, so Darvish, the next guy is Kershaw. We'll skip him. The next guy is Aaron Nola. You got to take Darvish over Nola, yeah. Right?
Yes.
All right, Al. Yes. I think we know where Yu Darvish is going in your rankings. Right around 20th overall. And I would say room to grow, room to improve. Fair?
That is very fair.
Okay, good.
That is very fair. I could definitely see, you know, after a couple of starts and no injuries, putting him, let's see, how high would I go? Probably, well, I could see actually maybe putting him ahead of Syndergaard, because every start for me is a roller coaster ride with Syndergaard.
Yeah, hold your breath kind of deal. All right, yeah. So let's talk about yesterday's standouts, and later on in the day, I want to look at Alex Bregman and David Dahl and Jurickson Profar, and Alex Dickerson hit another home run. Corey Dickerson may not ever hit a home run again, and those are the only Dickersons I know. So. Go ahead with the standouts. I know you guys were talking about Lance McCullers before the show even started. How about his start? 6 innings, 1 run, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts against the Yankees. Pretty impressive stuff. How you feeling about Lance McCullers?
I am feeling great about Lance McCullers, and I actually feel like I maybe blew an opportunity to buy him sort of low, and I didn't try it, so I'll never know. But Heath has him. This is our For the People podcast league, and I wanted to deal Brian Dozier. And the two pitchers that I targeted because I needed pitching help were Michael Fulmer, who I eventually did get for Dozier. And if that didn't fall through, then I was, or if that did fall through, I was going to offer Dozier to Heath for McCullers. And I wish I had targeted McCullers first.
Ooh, over but, Fulmer, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, definitely. Well, and look at what he's done just the last two starts. And I mean, McCullers has been striking batters out pretty much all season, but 10 strikeout games against the Angels and the Yankees, who I think are still 1-2 in strikeout rate, lowest strikeout rates, and throwing many more strikes in those two starts, which is the key thing.
Against the Yankees specifically, we were talking about this on the Daily Fantasy Live show yesterday. I was really high on McCullers. Everybody else was kind of iffy on him. And the concern was the Yankees don't strike out very much against left-handed pitch or right-handed pitching. I think they're fifth in strikeout rate. He is just impossible to hit. Last night he threw about 54% of his pitches for strikes. That's on the lower end for most pitchers. No, I had that number wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, okay. It was more like 2 out of 3, like about 67%.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the swings. I added the wrong number.
Oh, but come on, is... Chris. You got to step it up. It's just me and you tomorrow. You cannot be doing bad math tomorrow. You can do it today with Al, but not tomorrow.
All right, I'm doing that. He is such an outlier in baseball. Nobody uses their curveball as much as him. Nobody uses their curveball. It's kind of his primary pitch. He throws his curveball almost 50% of the time. And most curveballs don't get a lot of swings and misses. That's something that I've picked up on this season, is that, you know, if the slider is like the four-seam fastball, the curveball is like the two-seam fastball. It's the pitch that a lot of guys throw to get contact. It's the pitch that a lot of guys throw to get weak contact, ground balls. Lance McCullers just hit 27% swing strike rate on the curveball last night. I believe he's above 25% for the season. It's a wicked pitch, and he's really good. I don't care about the walks.
Well, here's the other thing about the walks. So he only walked 2 Yankees yesterday in 6 innings. Pretty good for him. And in his previous start, that start against the Angels, 4 walks, 10 strikeouts, but 8 innings, 1 run. But 2 of those walks against the Angels came in the 9th inning. He went out for the 9th inning. He had only walked 2 through 8, and then he walked 2 in the 9th inning, did not record an out, and was removed from the game. So, look,
and he threw strikes in that start, so you know that reflects.
Now, look, his control was so bad, he had a whip over 1.5 going into those two starts. It might still be over 1.5, so I don't know that we can call it, you know, reversing the trend, but his control wasn't that bad last year. My only thing is, you know, I say this all the time, two-pitch pitcher. McCullers is pretty much a two-pitch pitcher, but it's kind of reminding me of Chris Archer, where, you know, his Archer slider last year was so good that he was able to be a two-pitch pitcher. And I've watched McCullers a lot this year. And that curveball, as Chris said, I mean, I think it's one of the best pitches in the game.
And his swinging strike rate and strikeout rate against lefties is actually higher than it is against righties. And that would be the thing that you would be concerned with, typically with a two-pitch pitcher, is that they're going to have the platoon concerns. But it's actually been a very effective weapon against lefties as well.
All right, well, you know, I've still got that trade offer out there, I think, to Chris Towers, trying to get David Price with Lance McCullers involved in the deal. I think you should just do it straight up, Chris.
No, I'm good.
Well, let me see what the trade offer actually is.
It was Michael Fulmer and Lance McCullers for David Price. That's interesting.
Oh, well, now.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. But I think there may be some concerning trends with Michael Fulmer, guys. The strikeouts are way down over the last 4 starts. Are you guys worried that he's hitting the wall? Or I was going to call it running out of pixie dust, to pick up on what Heath had said about Stephen Wright.
A little bit, you know, given the innings concerns that you would have about Fulmer. And Heath has also pointed out that, you know, Fulmer was a key regression candidate even before the strikeouts started to dip. I still think when it all washes out that he's going to be a very good starter. And I do think that I have some concern about fatigue, but I also think that just as easily that the strikeouts could rebound. And he's probably not going to revert to being even at best a strikeout per inning guy, but he's just going to be a very, you know, nice, kind of well-rounded, effective pitcher.
Any other standouts for you fellas? yesterday.
Well, I was very interested in Gerrit Cole's start, and of course it turned out to be a gem. But I'm still a little bit concerned about him. And again, Cole so far this year has been a very good pitcher with a good ERA. Like, sort of the way I was describing Fulmer, a nice pitcher with, decent peripherals, but not the elite level that I think we all expected from Cole going into the season. And the one thing that I've noticed that looks a little bit askew from him is that his fastball velocity is down just enough that the differential between that velocity and the slider velocity has shrunk.
Yeah.
Previous years.
Well, it's interesting because he I don't know if you've seen data from yesterday, but he was throwing pretty hard. I was trying to watch a lot yesterday. I was really interested in Bundy, Paxton, Cole, McCullers, Tanaka. Those were the guys that I saw most of, a little bit of John Gray. Those were the three games I kind of focused on. Both Cole and Paxton really came out firing yesterday, but for a complete game, one run start for Cole, the six strikeouts, what do you think about that, Al?
Yeah, it's a slight concern. I mean, I really feel like it's kind of nitpicking because, it was a great start. And it is just one start. So, six strikeouts and nine innings in one start shouldn't be a concern for anybody. But he only threw nine sliders. Now, that's about half the normal amount he would throw in a 94-pitch outing. I don't know. It might mean nothing. It might have to do with the situation. Might have to do with the lineup he faced. I have no idea. But I don't know. I just have some cause for concern here that he's going to be kind of a merely average strikeout pitcher and be a little maybe overvalued.
Okay. Chris, how about you? Stand out for you.
I think we have to talk about Dylan Bundy.
Oh,
he
yeah.
had another very nice start. I mean, he was cruising through the first five innings. I think it was no hitting the Rockies through the first five innings.
Perfect
and then
gaming them, I believe.
Came apart a little bit in the sixth, gave up three runs, two home runs. Given the fact that this is the deepest he's thrown into a game, I would guess in about 3 years, I think you can give him a little benefit of the doubt there that he just kind of ran out of steam. But if you look at what he did last night, the changeup was really solid, which it has been all season. Eight strikeouts and 5 2/3 innings. He got 7 swinging strikes on 24 changeups, 7 swinging strikes on 48 fastballs. I think he's got the potential to be a real difference maker down the stretch.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that because I am really excited about Bundy. My only concern is what we saw initially from Danny Duffy as Duffy transitioned from the bullpen to starter, where he was good for 5 innings and you didn't know what you were going to get after that. And as you nailed it. I mean, he seemed to fatigue a little bit. His control wasn't as good. He had to make a play coming off the mound and firing to first base at the beginning of the sixth inning, and then he might have run out of steam a little bit because it's really hot out there pretty much all around the country. But it's such a difference from what we saw in that first start against Tampa Bay, where he was throwing fastball for the first inning and maybe first two innings. He's mixing in his pitches now. They're really good, that changeup, that curveball. I already own Dylan Bundy after his previous start, and I think Bundy is an absolute must-own right now.
Yeah.
Am I going crazy? Or is
I look at him, and I look at like the other guy that I view as potentially a must-own pitcher that's available right now, and that's Tyler Skaggs. I'm not sure which one I would rather have. I guess I would feel better about Skaggs just because he's already stretched out as a starter. The one thing you did say with Duffy that I think is interesting is that he didn't even top 80 pitches in his first five starts for the Royals. Bundy's at 87 and 89 the last two starts. He was 70 in his first start. So he's, and they had already started stretching him out. Already in June, he was already throwing 50-plus pitches in a lot of his outings. So I think you might have a situation where he's already capable of going deeper into starts than Duffy was.
All right, the other pitcher that really stood out to me was Sean Manaea. He gave up a two-run homer. He was cruising along, gave up a two-run homer to Ian Desmond. I thought it was a pretty decent pitch. I just really give credit to Desmond on that. But Manaea, in his last four starts, has no walks, 26 strikeouts. Actually, four appearances. One of them was a relief appearance when Rich Hill had to leave with a blister. But that was against Toronto, and he came in and he pitched well. I like what I'm seeing from Manaea. I know he gave up 11 hits yesterday, 3 runs, doesn't look great, but no walks, 9 strikeouts, and I just think he's making a lot of progress. He's owning the same amount of leagues as Dylan Bundy. Who would you guys prefer, and am I right to be excited about Sean Manaea?
I'll give the nod to Manaea, but ooh, also recognizing that Bundy, the one thing that makes me hesitate a bit is Bundy will get a lot more run support, most likely.
Yeah.
But I think Manaea, he's going to go deeper into games. I love the skill set, what he's done, like you pointed out, Adam, in the last 4 starts. That's the Sean Manaea that we've seen in the minors. That's who I thought we would see a little sooner.
Let's go further.
Yeah.
On June 1st, he had his first outing with more than 10 swinging strikes. He had 14. In nine, we'll call the appearance against Toronto a start. He went 5 innings. In 9 starts since then, he has at least 12 swinging strikes in 7 of his outings. He has a 14% swinging strike rate. He has a 3.13 ERA, a strikeout per inning, and only 10 walks in 54 2/3 innings. He's been really good for a while now.
Yep. And one thing I noticed about him, I owned him in a few leagues, and then I dropped him because he wasn't doing that well. But one thing I noticed, every single time he reached the 6th inning, he would start to falter. He was pretty bad the 3rd time through the order. I think he's getting better at that. So at least you could see that Manaea was making steady progress. I am a little surprised that Al's taking him over Dylan Bundy. Chris, you can weigh in on that. And I will add one thing here. Dylan Bundy is a 2-start pitcher. So we're at the point where you kind of have to play for week to week in certain cases. Bundy's got 2 starts next week against Texas, Yu Darvish, and at the White Sox, Anthony Renato. So with that said, there are actually... Ooh, look at this group of pitchers.
Bundy should probably be close to, I don't know if 100% owned, but he should be very highly owned next week with 2 starts, I think.
And he's relief pitcher eligible.
So what's the case for Bundy over Manaea? And again, I don't want to slight Bundy because it's very exciting what he's doing, but Manaea's doing something I think at least equally impressive, and he's fully stretched out.
I'm not 100% sure I would make the case for Bundy over Manaea. So I'm not necessarily sure I'm the right one to ask there. It's more, I mean, Bundy does have considerable upside, and I'm looking at one of my teams right now, and I don't know if I can drop anyone for him. So
Let's hear it. We'll tell you who to drop.
This has been an issue for me all season. My pitching staff. Here are the pitchers that I could conceivably drop: Adam Conley, Danny Duffy, John Gray, Hisashi Iwakuma, and Blake Snell. I don't think I can drop any of those guys for Dylan Bundy.
Ooh, man, that is tough.
Yeah.
This has been an issue for me all season.
Maybe Conley?
That hurts.
We're going to talk about Conley a little bit later. But I was looking at this group of 2-star pitchers. They're all owned in between 41 to 43% of our leagues, which is right where Sean Manaea is, but he's only a 1-star pitcher. And if you're playing for next week, you just got to hope he doesn't get traded. But Andrew Kashner has Milwaukee and Philadelphia at home.
You can hope all you want. He's going to be traded.
You think so?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. So maybe don't be as gung-ho. Dylan Bundy, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Archie Bradley. I mean, the fact that Dylan Bundy is owned in the same amount of leagues, actually fewer leagues than Eduardo Rodriguez, is criminal.
Well, you know, he might be 80% owned if he was on the Red Sox.
Yeah, but they're better than the Red Sox, you know? The Orioles are in first place.
Yeah, but they don't get the same hype.
This is weird. Zach Eflin is almost as owned as James Paxton.
Yeah, so, it seems.
Let's talk about Paxton. We're really skipping around, but sort of organically, just hitting on all the guys I wanted to talk about here.
We're just so happy we're skipping around.
You know what? I am excited about pitching right now. I just pitching is so bad.
You are like manic about pitching now. You've been like, oh, pitching's terrible. I hate all the pitchers. And now you're excited.
I am excited. I'm excited about these guys. I'm excited about Bundy. I was really excited about James Paxton, but I didn't really see much of that improved curveball last night. And he didn't have a terrible start. 5 innings, 3 runs. And I should mention that 3-run inning for Paxton. Nori Aoki started the inning by making a pretty bad play. Could have been an out, could have been a single on a hard hit ball. It ended up being a triple, kind of set the stage for a big inning. But yeah, I mean, Paxton 55% owned. Would you drop Paxton for Bundy? Would you drop Paxton for Manaea?
Because Dylan Bundy, is Paxton a two-star pitcher next week?
Yes.
Yes, but Boston and the Angels.
Okay. I might consider it then, because Boston is in. Boston's one of those teams that, like, if you've got two starts and you're not an absolute ace, I'm considering sitting you against, or I'm probably sitting you if you've got Boston. It's like Tyler Skaggs this week. I was really excited about adding him. He had two starts in his first week, but Boston's the second one. I don't think you can take that chance. I might drop Paxton for Bundy for just next week.
Well, let me tell you a guy that you should drop for just next week if you need to win. Brandon McCarthy is a two-star pitcher at Colorado and home against Boston.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not that much of a believer anyway with McCarthy. I mean, first couple of starts were great, but yesterday's was not. And I don't know, we've seen this from McCarthy before where he has these stretches where he looks absolutely dominant, but yeah, he does usually sort of regress to a level of pitching that you don't need to roster every week.
Yeah, I unsuccessfully tried selling high on Brandon McCarthy. But I'm not unhappy to have him on my team. You know, I think he'll be serviceable, Al McCarthy.
Serviceable, yeah. But, you know, if Paxton's out there, Manaea's out there, Bundy's out there, you know, I can do better than serviceable, yeah. I think, with those guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why I'm excited. See how exciting this is?
All right. Exciting.
Yeah. Luckily, the injuries, news, and notes, there wasn't anything major yesterday. There was a very minor, interesting trade, actually, that went down. We'll talk about that in a second. Here's our email of the day, though. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. It comes from Steven from Johnson City, Tennessee. And he says, "Dear Mike, Mookie, and Ian."
Top five hitters in fantasy.
Kinsler is a top five hitter?
Desmond. And they're
Desmond.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, there you go.
Is Aaron Altair worth picking up in a 12-team, five-outfielder roto league? He's 5% owned. Aaron Altair, is he worth picking up?
I've been struggling with that one because, you know, I'd like definitely want Altair in the deeper leagues, you know, based on what he did in the second half of last year. I'm not sure, especially in the Phillies lineup, that it's enough to drop somebody in that format.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go team by team and, you know, and look at it, because I think he's worth a flyer in the way that Naquin was worth a flyer a week or two ago. You know, I did the Robert Grossman experiment that failed, but, you know, I was willing to take the plunge there and stick with them for about 3 weeks. I think Altair deserves the same kind of consideration even before he's activated.
All right, Altair for the Phillies last year. He batted .241, but hit for a lot of power. In 39 games, he had 5 home runs, 11 doubles, and 4 triples. So he slugged .489 with a .241 batting average. Also .338 on base and 6 steals in 39 games. So Altair was, I know for Scott at least, he was kind of a deep sleeper coming into the year, got hurt, and now working his way back to the Phillies. Here are your news.
By the way, I apologize to Mookie Betts for changing his position because I said everybody was a center fielder.
Mm. Oh, you did say that?
I mean, he could be a center fielder.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what the emailer was thinking.
It's not his fault Jackie Bradley's on the Red Sox.
The Rangers acquired Lucas Harrell and reliever Dario Alvarez from Atlanta for a former first-round pick, Travis Demeritt. I don't know if how you pronounce it.
I thought it was Demeritt, but I really don't know.
Is there a different Lucas Harrell? I don't understand this trade.
Look, their season, they are free-falling. And they just need Nick Martinez.
You mean from the Texas? Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it.
Because, like, Travis Demeritt, you know, he had a bad season last year, but this is a guy with 2 25 homer seasons in the minors, has 25 homers already this season.
Upside for better. Yeah, I think it's a great trade by the Braves. And, I mean, yes, I think it's just interesting from that perspective. In terms of what it's, and also in terms of what it means just for both teams. That, like Chris is saying, the Rangers are clearly desperate for pitching.
I said that.
Well, I think Chris intimated, but we're all in agreement here.
Well, don't ever give Chris credit for something I said, Al.
Yeah, don't ever accuse me of saying something Adam said.
You know what? Just for that, I'm not going to podcast tomorrow. But I find this interesting in terms of forecasting what's going to go on with the closer situation with the Braves, because it just clearly they're willing to move anybody who's got value, and Jim Johnson right now is building value.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of which, do you think, just Jim Johnson did get a save yesterday, But the guy we love so much, what's his name? Mauricio Cabrera, excuse me. He's
got three strikeouts yesterday.
Yeah, but he's not pitching the eighth. Chris Withrow pitched the eighth, and I feel like Cabrera didn't pitch the eighth the last time Johnson got a save. I'm not 100% positive.
No, I'm almost sure that that's true.
He didn't, right?
Yeah, maybe they want to trade Withrow, too. They're building up his value.
Well, Withrow's actually having a decent season. But, yeah.
It's interesting to point out. Yeah, it could be either guy.
Cabrera has been really good lately. Very exciting. A.J. Ramos could be available today. Yanhervis Solarte is on the family leave list. He's going to be out 3 to 7 days. D. Gordon returns today, and boy, Derek Dietrich has been stanky for a while, huh?
It's been bad in the month of July.
And
disappointing.
J.D. Martinez started a rehab assignment. Pittsburgh starting pitcher Steven Brault will start against Milwaukee on Friday. On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being Nick Tepish, and 10 being Clayton Kershaw, how interested are you in Steven Brault?
I'd say about a 2, more than Nick Tepish.
So who would be a 2 on that scale?
Or a 1, you mean? Who would be in because Brault's a 2.
Oh, Brault's a 2, okay. Brault's a 2. I was thinking of like a comp for him, but that's fine.
I would say a 3. You know, his numbers in the minors are very good this season. So I'll look at him. I'll see what he does.
Didn't he make a start earlier this year?
He did. He had 5 strikeouts and 4 innings in a start earlier this season.
You conveniently left out the... Oh, he gave up one run.
One
at
run.
St. Louis.
One run allowed.
I figured.
You know I don't care about. I don't care about runs.
Yeah. You and Heath. Craig Kimbrell could be back next week. Carlos Gomez left with a mild hamstring strain. Jorge Soler will be back soon. I do wonder about Wilson Contreras. This is one I wanted to look into. And see how he had been doing in terms of catchers since being called up, Wilson Contreras. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But are you concerned about Contreras losing playing time with Soler coming back?
No, not at all.
No?
Not at all. I mean, they've been keeping him in the lineup. Joe Madden's been keeping him in the lineup, playing outfield pretty consistently. And I just think that there's enough moving parts there that I would worry more about Soler's playing time, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just figured maybe Soler gets a game or two a week or maybe a little more. Are so many people.
I think Hayward's even sat a game here or there, as well he should.
Francisco Rodriguez was away for personal reasons. He should be back tomorrow. Justin Wilson got the save for the Tigers at Boston yesterday. They swept the Red Sox. I'm pretty sure that was the first time all year the Red Sox were swept, the last team in baseball to get swept. Carlos Rodon could start either Sunday or Tuesday. Luis Severino pitched in relief yesterday, but he could return to the rotation if Ivan Nova gets traded, and Severino's 29% owned and threw 2 scoreless with 3 strikeouts in relief. Oh, this is great. The Angels and the Royals had a 6-minute and 15-second video review yesterday.
It's a very important game.
But it's ridiculous, and it actually was a very big review, and it kind of changed the fate of Matt Shoemaker yesterday. A controversial play opened the floodgates on a big inning. But
and the Angels, I believe, played that game under protest.
They did, and Mike Scioscia is so confident that he's going to win the protest. He's not going to win the protest, FYI.
No.
Anyway, Cameron Maben has missed 4 straight games with a back injury. Tyler Collins has been filling in. Yesterday, Melvin Upton started in left field for the Blue Jays. Now, they did sit Justin Smoke and put Encarnacion at first and D.H. Bautista, but they also sat Michael Saunders and got Ezekiel Carrera in the lineup, and it was against the righty, so probably just a day of rest. On the 7th day, Michael Saunders is resting.
Yeah, I think the more relevant thing there is Jose Bautista DHing and Encarnacion playing first.
Yeah. Nelson Cruz day-to-day still. Yasiel Puig sat again with a hamstring injury. They still haven't put him on the DL. And Wilmer Flores did start at third base with Jose Reyes out, and he's day-to-day. So, have you guys... Chris, I know you have. People out there, have you tried FanDuel yet? Obviously, Al, you have too, but Chris talks about it every day on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast, and I'm telling you, you're going to love FanDuel. It's like saying, have you tried fantasy baseball yet? I know you love fantasy baseball, so play more of it. Enter new leagues every single day on FanDuel.com, and there's no commitment. Contests start at just $1, and you can basically enter your first league for free if you use our promo code HOMERUN. One word, no spaces, home run. Sign up on FanDuel.com with that promo code enter your first contest and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel's automatically giving you your money back up to $10, and that is for additional play. So go to FanDuel.com, sign up with that promo code HOMERUN. It's a lot of fun. It's a great challenge. It's different every single day, and you can win some money. Now, let's talk about streaks, although I'd love to take the R out of that word and talk about stakes, but instead I will talk about streaks. Jerry's Familia blew a save. How do you guys take your steak, by the way?
Medium rare.
Medium for me.
Medium rare for me. Al, you were wrong. Jerry's Familia blew a save. He had saved 52 in a row, consecutive successful save chances. 52 in a row for Familia. That's the third longest of all time. Behind Tom Gordon, who had 54, and Eric Gagne, who had 84. Wow.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I had seen that he was getting up close to Tom Gordon. I was like, I know Eric Gagne has the record. How long is it? 84 is a lot.
84 is a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be safe for a while.
I don't know that there's much to say about Familia, except other than converting all the saves, he's had a worse year than last year.
Yeah.
The whip is 1.225, which is very high for a closer. The strikeouts are down. He hasn't given up a home run, and he's actually the number two closer in points leagues, number four in Roto. That does not include SPARPs, starting pitchers, eligibles, relief pitchers. It does only include closers, and Familia is still number two in points, number four in Roto. But it's been kind of a roller coaster when he's been in there, guys.
It has, and I think maybe that's a function of the Mets not scoring a ton of runs, and so that Familia has a lot of opportunities. And yeah, I feel like he's kind of treading towards the Casilla zone where, you know, he gets it done often enough, but you have to wonder if he's going to hit a major snag at some point.
Yeah, I feel like we've been wondering that about Francisco Rodriguez for 10 years now.
Yeah.
He's blown two saves this year. It's wild. I know that's off subject, but just kind of reminded me. And another streak, this one keeps going. Jason Wirth has reached base in 30 straight games. Now, you're probably saying, well, Adam, 30 straight games reaching base for Jason Wirth, he must have be doing really well in fantasy. Well, he isn't. In that stretch, since my birthday, by the way, remember yesterday was Irvin Santana had started his streak on my birthday? Well, so did Jason Wirth. He's the 46th best outfielder in points leagues and 77th in Roto with a 30-game on-base streak.
Yeah, he's not good.
He's not, right?
I mean, look, the guy's 37.
Yeah.
It's tough.
A lot of doubles, though.
So I'm trying to think, not that this is a dilemma for me, but Jason Wirth or Aaron Altair, I think I'm probably still going Wirth.
I would take the upside play of Altair.
Wow. That would be your Altair ego. That's pretty good. I think that's pretty good.
That is. There have been some outstanding Altair puns out in the Twitterverse the last 24 hours.
What have we gotten?
Well, this one's actually wasn't Twitter. I'm trying to remember some of the ones from Twitter, but somebody in for the podcast league actually was the Yas Queen.
Oh, yeah.
So the team, Alexandria.
There's a Y at the front of that, by the way.
I pronounced it, didn't I?
It was close.
All right.
You
might have to leave that one, Adam. Go back and check that. She picked him up, and I made a comment on the message board, and somebody else, I don't remember who was, chimed in and said that my plans had been altered.
Oh, that is good. I like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't remember the ones from Twitter. They made me laugh at the time.
Good, just like alter ego. Now, here's an interesting category as we transition from the Yas Queen to checking out the young guys. I've been checking out the young guys lately, and here they are. Alex Bregman is 0-for-9 with 2 walks and 3 strikeouts. David Dahl homered yesterday. He's batting .250 with no walks, 5 strikeouts in that home run. Jerickson Profar, he's a young guy. I'm checking him out. 3-for-5 with a double and a run scored and a strikeout yesterday against the A's. He's batting .296. Not really doing that much else. Trey Turner. Yeah, 62% owned. Big game yesterday. 3-for-4 with 2 doubles and 3 RBIs. He batted leadoff. He played center field at Cleveland. And Alex Dickerson. Oh, wait. That was a home game against Cleveland, wasn't it?
Nope.
Oh, it was a road game. Okay. So they
it
had
was.
A DH.
So, yeah. So we'll see what Dusty Baker does tonight when there's no DH.
Okay. And Alex Dickerson is 15% owned. He went 1-for-4 with a home run. He has a home run in 4 straight games for the San Diego Padres. That gives him a 571 slugging in 31 games.
He is solely responsible for 16% of the Padres' home run streak.
Yeah, you didn't mention the other streak. The Padres have the longest streak in National League history with a home run in a game.
Oh, they said it yesterday?
Yeah, that is insane.
Yeah, it's wild. It's 2016 for you. So, yeah, I don't know if you guys have anything to say about these young fellows.
Well, I guess we'll talk about Dickerson because we've talked a lot about the other four, obviously. But he did have something of a power breakout at AAA this year. So, I mean, I'm not completely dismissing this power outburst at this point. I mean, I was pretty much dismissing it, I would say, like 2 days ago. But, yeah, I still don't. I would go Altair over him in a standard mixed league. But I think, you know, 14-team mixed league, Dickerson, somebody that's in that category of somebody you pick up just to see what you got.
I'll tear you a new one.
That's violent, but good.
Chris, is Trey Turner approaching must-own territory in any categories format?
I want him to be. I really, it just depends on the role, you know. And I guess there's a chance he gets traded, which would be a very good thing. If Dusty Baker's not going to play him every day, though, then obviously not. I do think in terms of talent, yes, he is a must-own player. In terms of role, a little more questionable.
But if they're batting him leadoff, I think that shows some faith in him. And not only that, they played him in center field and Ben Revere in left field yesterday, I'm pretty sure. So I could see him just taking over center field if he passes the test. And if he's going to get you steals, we know he can.
Yeah.
You don't need him to play every day to have some value in roto leagues.
Sure. I would still say he's probably not must-own, but yeah.
Okay. Let's do the faith-o-meter. New meter every day, it seems. The faith-o-meter is just how much faith you have in these guys when you start them, because that's kind of tough this time of year. Masahiro Tanaka on 4 days rest. For me, it's a 3.
I'll go 4, give him a little benefit of the doubt.
He has a 4.95 ERA on 4 days rest. It's actually kind of astounding how much worse he is in those situations than any other time. Yeah, 4.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think he'll be on 5 days rest next week because they have an off day today. But he was on 4 days rest last week, and I sat him. And Tanaka had a great start against the Giants. And so I said, all right, I'll start him this week against the Astros. And he had a bad start against the Astros on 4 days rest.
Fooled you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, that's Tanaka. How about Matt Moore? Faith-o-meter on Matt Moore, 0 to 10.
6.
4.
4.
Okay. I'm just not convinced he's very good. The strikeout rate's way down. I know the control's better, but yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, he's not as exciting, but both in a good and a bad way.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of pitchers I'd rather gamble on the upside with than Matt Moore.
So you would drop Matt Moore for Dylan Bundy?
I'd do that.
Yeah.
That seems risky. Matt Moore's got a 2.39 ERA in his last 9 starts. Seems risky.
I don't think it's that risky just because you're looking at a situation like, what is Matt Moore's best case scenario? Like, I know he's got a 2.39 ERA over the last 9 starts, but I don't think that's actually his best case scenario.
Okay, well, but you're talking about a guy in Dylan Bundy who still, we haven't seen him get through 6 full innings without, you know, melting down a little bit in the 6th. I just think it's a little risky.
Sure, but if I'm in a spot where, like, losing Matt Moore is really hurting me, my pitching staff's probably not very good anyway, so I'd rather gamble on the upside. It's either a spot where, like, Matt Moore is my 6th starter, and who cares if I lose Matt Moore? Or if Matt Moore is my 3rd or 4th starter, my pitching staff is terrible, and I'd rather just gamble on the upside anyway.
All right, Matt Moore hate on the podcast today. How about Adam Conley? How confident, how much faith in Adam Conley, 0 to 10?
5.
Let's see, well, I gave...
I think he's better than Matt Moore.
Yeah, I gave Matt Moore a 6, so I'll have to give Conley a 7. Because I do trust him a little bit more than Moore.
John Gray.
Yeah.
I have him as a 7. I think he's extremely good.
I just think the variation is so high. You know, and again, I don't think you can expect him to be great at home. He can be great at home.
I agree with that.
So I'll give him a 5.
I think maybe it's a 9 on the road and a 5 at home, Chris, for you to average out to a 7?
Yeah, definitely.
I think for me it's a 9 on the road and probably more like a 4 at home.
Zach Eflin.
The 2-1?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how to calibrate here. If it's just trust him in a vacuum, yeah, it's probably about a 2 for Eflin. But if it's, trust him to meet a certain level of performance, good enough to start in a deeper league, it's probably more like a 4.
It's worth noting he is more highly owned than Archie Bradley, more highly owned than Dylan Bundy, more highly owned than some of the other guys we were talking about earlier. So in that case, and he's only 4% less owned than Zach Eflin or James Paxton, that also influences my calibration.
Archie Bradley, faith-o-meter.
5.
Yeah.
Meh.
How about Rock of Gibraltar?
That's good.
You're on a roll.
Thank you. Love it. Let's see. Let's skip around here. You guys have anything to say about Matt Shoemaker? It did not look like a good start yesterday, but as I mentioned, he was pitching pretty well. And then they had that weird play where Mondesi bunted. He threw to first. The ball got away from him. And there was a triple from Dyson, blah, blah, blah. So it ended up being 5 runs in 6 innings, only 1 strikeout at Kansas City. Concerns at all?
Only 6 swinging strikes in that start as well. I'm not worried, though. He's been so good for such a long time that it's really hard for me to be concerned.
Yep. Okay. Gets a free pass here.
Let's do 4 up, then. Couple of shortstops headlined 4 up today. Addison Russell, over the last 28 days, Russell is the number 4 shortstop in points leagues, only number 11 in Roto. I wasn't quite sure what the difference was. Maybe just 15 strikeouts in that stretch is helping him. But 284 with 4 home runs. Grand slam yesterday, right, for Russell?
Yes.
And I think
he opened that game up.
To be honest with you, him and Javier Baez, I feel like they're both doing pretty well. Russell better than Baez, but, Baez helping out in deeper leagues. I feel like tide's turning a little bit for these guys.
A little bit, but there's just been a lot of false starts and ups and downs for Russell over the past 12 months or so. I'm certainly not as excited about him as I was back in March and April. And again, that has a lot to do with what's happened at shortstop coming into this year. It seemed like he had a chance to really elevate himself just outside the elite because of the power skills he has. Well, we didn't know that Trevor Story and Aledmys Diaz, and I don't know who else I'm forgetting, that's kind of come out of nowhere, that they would be as good as they would be with so much power.
So would you rather have Addison Russell or Angelton Simmons?
Addison Russell, thank you.
I'm just kidding. Addison Russell or Brandon Crawford?
I'll go with Russell.
Yeah.
A little more upside.
How many sighs today from Chris? I feel like that's 3 or 4.
That's probably about 3 or 4.
Would you rather have Addison Russell?
I'm very world weary.
Addison Russell or Alexi Ramirez, guys.
Really?
No. Gene Segura. Gene Segura is the number 8 shortstop in points leagues and number 8 in Roto. Chris Towers hates Gene Segura on a personal level. Something happened.
That's just not at all true.
Something happened in the past. We're just trying to dig it up.
Wow. Yes.
Well, he's 8th in points and Roto.
He's been really good this season. I'm done doubting it.
Okay.
Now that I'm done doubting it, he will probably be bad.
Okay. He's been batting 3rd. He batted 3rd each of the last 2 games, Mr. Segura.
He's got a 9-11 OPS in the month of July. It's ridiculous.
That. All right. A couple of 2-homer games yesterday. Chris Davis and Yasmani Tomas. Tomas is the number 52 outfielder in points leagues, number 39 in Roto. So he probably falls into that category. You look for him in the 5 outfielder leagues and that's it. Do you guys have anything to say about Chris Davis or Yasmani Tomas? Davis, by the way, number 32 in points, number 20 in Roto this year.
5 multi-homer games for Chris Davis this season. That's a lot.
Yeah, he is who he is. I mean, he's a legitimate power hitter. Yep. He's established that. Now in Oakland, I think some of us worried about the power translating. Yep. It has. Tomas is much more of an enigma.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like every time we're about to write him off, every time the Diamondbacks say they're about to write him off, he storms back. I honestly don't know what to do with this guy.
Well, Davis is, even though as the number 31 outfielder in points leagues, number 20 in Roto, you could say that he's been worth starting every week in three outfielder leagues or five outfielder leagues. But he's the kind of player that drives me crazy because, how many two-homer games this year or multi-homer games?
Yeah. Yep.
That drives me crazy because you could get him for a week where he's so bad and you have a decent option on your bench and you say, all right, I'm going to bench Chris Davis this week, and then he hits two home runs. I can't. That was what Jay Bruce used to be. And in weekly leagues, roto leagues where, you just get their stats for the entire season, it didn't bother me as much. But weekly leagues, I never wanted Jay Bruce on my team because he would frustrate the heck out of me. And I feel like that's what Chris Davis is. The only difference is you drafted Chris Davis pretty late, so you're pretty happy with what you've gotten.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there I've done it again. I've summed everything up and given you guys nothing to say. So let's go to three down. Do you have any hope for Michael Conforto or Corey Dickerson? They're the first two in three down. Conforto and Dickerson are owned in more than 50% of leagues. Do you have any hope for them?
I have hope for both of them. I mean, we saw last season and earlier this season what Conforto can do against major league pitching. I do think it's some. I mean, I do worry about playing time because of lefty righty splits. But I think at least against righties, he will ultimately be fine. Dickerson, I have hope so far as I don't know that he's going to be somebody you can count on average.
Yeah.
Maybe ever again. But no doubt that he has power that can help you if that's something that you need.
Yeah,
but at what point do you drop him in a five outfielder league? You've dropped him already in a three outfielder league, but how much
last week?
Five outfielder league?
Yeah, because I needed room on my roster. He was the worst guy I had.
Wow.
It was either him or Trey Turner.
I don't think he's completely undroppable there, but I don't know that any of my teams would be good enough to do that.
Yeah, look,
that's a sign of a good outfield.
Probably my worst outfielder in our auction league, and every week I want to drop him, and I don't because I'm in fourth place. I have a very small chance of winning, and I'm looking at my roster, and I'm saying, how could I possibly win? Corey Dickerson is going to have to go absolutely bonkers, and that's one way that I could win. I need him to just go on one of those crazy tears where he has a month with a 1100 OPS or something. I still feel like he's somewhat capable of doing that. But, short of that, I need a miracle, I need a Hail Mary scenario, I would drop him in, I guess. Okay. Nick Castellanos has been struggling since the All-Star break. .224 batting average, one home run, three walks, 12 strikeouts. Just a slump for Castellanos or something to be more concerned about?
He's profiled as a regression candidate, seems like almost all season. And there was a period earlier on where he started to regress, but then he turned it around. But the constant near constant has been the power.
Yep.
And I think even with a lower batting average, that's going to make him startable in roto leagues. And he's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
All righty. It's Castellanos. Other starting pitchers. I was hopeful for Eduardo Rodriguez after his previous two starts. 7 innings, 1 run, only 1 strikeout at the Yankees. And 5 1/3, 2 runs and 8 strikeouts against Minnesota. Because they sent Rodriguez down to work on avoiding tipping his pitches. And he's starting to throw his slider more. So I was hopeful. He's 43% owned. Yesterday was bad for him. Are you guys hopeful for Rodriguez at all?
Is he just, overrated?
I think he is.
Yes.
Like, the minor league production was okay. He got traded to Boston and had a really good stretch for 37 innings at AA. But for the most part, his minor league production is just fine. And he hasn't shown it in the majors. I think he's just someone that is just kind of overrated.
Can you say, what team is Eduardo Rodriguez on, Chris?
The Boston Red Sox.
You kind of say Boston like you have a Boston accent. It's very strange.
You said Red Sox kind of like you have a Boston accent.
Boston Red Sox?
Is there something you're not telling us?
You put a little bit of a W in the Sox the first time you said it.
Boston Red Sox.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
The Miami accent is it's a hodgepodge. It's a mishmash.
Oh, in my opinion, the South Florida accent, other than Chris is a little weird, is the best, most American accent in the world. There really is no accent. We speak perfectly.
It depends, because you're not from Miami, right? You've never really lived in Miami except when you went to school, right?
Yeah, 4 years.
See, the Miami accent, totally different.
No, it isn't, is it?
Yeah, well, it depends.
Well, you're Cuban. Like
the, yeah, you have like the second generation Cuban kids that kind of have like a. It's not Spanglish because they speak English, but there's like a lilting at the end of the sentences. Like they, you know, it, it almost sounds like every sentence is a question. that's the Miami accent.
I guess I didn't.
Whereas
that.
Like Broward, West Palm is more of like just a generic,
very generic, perfect
American melting pot accent.
Yeah, we're the best. So also Dan Straley had a good start, and he's got five straight quality starts, and Straley's 30% owned. Are you interested in Straley?
Nope.
Yeah, no. There are too many pitchers with upside. He's not one of them.
And he's a one-star pitcher next week. And Logan Verrett, 9% owned. Is he at least interesting in a deeper league?
Definitely. I thought he would be better than he had been prior to the start. I'm not sure, you know, what went wrong there for Verrett, but he's a good deep league target. And he's not on your list, but you know who's even fringier than these guys?
Oh, who's that?
Anthony Renato. Pretty nice start against the Cubs.
And a home run.
And a home run.
I believe only the second American League pitcher to homer at Wrigley Field.
Yep, and the first, it was somebody else very recently,
like last summer. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah. But I do find Renato interesting. I liked him a year or two back, probably more like 2 years back, before he kind of backslid as a prospect. But he seems to be a very different pitcher now. Really good control pitcher in the minors. And not the extreme fly ball guy that he was as a prospect. So, I don't know. I think there's some intrigue. There's some deep league intrigue with Anthony Renato.
Champion of the deep leagues. And Blake Treinen got a save for the Nationals yesterday. I would imagine just giving Papelbon a day off. Does that feel right?
Yeah. I mean,
he was unavailable.
Look,
and so is Sean Kelly.
Papelbon, you know, might lose his job, but it's not going to be to Blake Treinen.
Right.
It's going to be to Wade Davis.
You think so?
Someone like that.
Yeah.
Maybe Andrew Miller. Who knows? Somebody.
I'm not entirely convinced. I'm fairly convinced. But there's going to be competition for him. I'm not convinced that Papelbon is not good. Like I said, two appearances ago, he had like a 250 ERA. I don't remember now off the top of my head, but he's given up seven runs in his last two appearances, I think.
Well, I just think if last season showed us anything, it's that the Nationals benefit from a shakeup in the ninth inning.
Well, that's the other thing. I don't think he's the kind of guy that you want to remove from the ninth inning. I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, no, you have to trade him.
Hey, how about that Drew Store and Mariners debut? Went well.
Did he struggle again?
Terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck happened to him.
Yeah. Drew Store for Joaquin Benoit. Interesting trade. Trade deadline madness. Also, Ryan Madsen got a save but gave up a run, and Ryan Dahl did not get a save and also did not give up a run. It's clearly a better pitcher than Ryan Madsen.
Yes.
So somebody you could be stashing right now. Well, if you want to wait, I don't have any emails in the notes, but I can read some from my inbox. So let's do it.
You do whatever you got to do, Adam.
Let's do it. Jason from Chicago. Dear Harry, Marv, and Kevin. Harry, Marv, and Kevin.
Announcers?
No. Chicago and New York.
Oh, Home Alone?
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
My Rich Hill-led team, Blister in the Thumb, is losing... That's good. is losing ground quickly in my 10-team categories league. Would you cut Rich Hill over John Gray for someone like DeSclafani, Trevor Bauer, or Iwakuma?
No, no, and no.
No. You've got two best pitchers there.
God, that's a great team name.
Yeah, Blister the Thumb. That's great.
Yeah.
And is it finally time to cut Yasiel Puig in a three outfielder league?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, really? Okay, good. One more here. Again, we'll spend time on emails on tomorrow's show. So, this one should be fun. Oh, this is funny. Matt in New Jersey put Kluber in the subject line, and then he wrote, "Now that I have your attention with Kluber in the subject line, I'm looking for a trade grade. Really interested to get your thoughts on this one. 10-team categories league. I gave up Pujols and Michael Saunders for Corey Kluber. Grade the trade. Give up Pujols and Saunders for Kluber.
B+.
Yeah, B+.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Nice trade.
Good job.
Way to go, Matt.
Good podcast there from Alan, from Chris. Back tomorrow with more two-star pitchers, everything you need to know from Thursday, the most added list. And we'll let Chris pick some of the storylines. We'll let him quasi-produce yesterday, Chris. Why not? You've got some good ideas.
That sounds like more work for Chris.
No, whatever you've been writing about, just say, I wrote about this, and I'll throw it in the notes. You don't sound
appreciate that. Yeah, that wasn't a great Chris Towers impersonation.
No, the Chris Towers impersonation would be, I wrote about this? Exactly. All right, that's it for today's show. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you on Friday. Machado or Bono.